The next proverb is found in verse 25, but because it's going to have such a long explanation, we'd like to skip that proverb for now and come back to it later. So verse 26 says, "The righteous man is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them." This verse seems to be saying that the righteous actually guides his friends carefully and takes care to do them no harm, while the wicked will willingly lead his companions astray. Now, of course, the righteous is better qualified to give his neighbor good guidance and assistance because he has a more excellent understanding of God's will for man, and he can draw upon this great source of knowledge to teach and instruct. So his contact with his fellow man is one that is of a positive nature in that it is designed to do his fellow some good. It's designed to assist his fellow because he has a more excellent knowledge of God's way and he can give guidance and instruction that'll be a benefit. But the wicked, by following the way of the wicked, they lead their companions in the wrong way, which actually seduces them away from God. And this is borne out in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." NIV reads that verse like this, "Do not be misled, bad company corrupts good character." So the wicked, by making sin look good, by making sin look like it's something that's pleasing and desirable to do and will give a good benefit, they entice and they seduce their neighbors into doing that which is wrong, and consequently they produce harm to them. They bring about harm instead of good. So let's read again, Proverbs 12, verse 26. "The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them." The next proverb, verse 27, "The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious." Here we see another characteristic of the slothful or the lazy person. Even though he may have been successful at hunting, he does not roast the game obtained by hunting. He does not make good use of it, but rather it will go to waste because of his laziness. He also does not have enough appreciation for his blessings to make good use of them, but rather he wastes them. This principle would apply to all of our gifts and talents, which are also blessings. A gift or a talent that is wasted is the same as not roasting that which was taken in hunting. How can we expect God to continue to bless us if we're not thankful for the blessings which He gives us? It's easy to see how this attitude will lead to poverty rather than to success. But on the other hand, the diligent or the non-lazy person considers his substance to be precious or valuable. He certainly will roast what he takes in hunting so as not to waste it. He will use and appreciate all his talents and gifts to make the most of them. This is the type of person God likes to bless, the person who appreciated his blessings and uses them for a good benefit. We can see how this attitude will tend toward success and prosperity rather than to poverty and failure. Yet the only difference in these two illustrations is that one is lazy and the other is a worker. We actually have a choice ourselves as to what type of character we want to have, to be lazy and fail, or to be a worker and succeed. So to say that the substance of a diligent man is precious really means that the diligent person appreciates his blessings. He considers all of them to be of value. He doesn't discount any of them as being something that he just got by accident or that he really can afford to slough off and waste, but he places a value on all of his assets. He knows their blessings and he uses them properly. So again, let us read verse 27 of Proverbs 12. "The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious." The next proverb is found in verse 28. That verse says, "In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death." Here we see some qualifications of the righteous life. The way of righteousness is a straight, plain, easy-to-know way. God's commands, the rules we are to walk by, are all holy and good. Righteousness has proper reasoning and justice on its side. It is a pathway, a way by which God has made for us to walk. We read in Isaiah 35, verse 8, "And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein." NIV reads that like this, "And a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It'll be a way for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it." And this simply means that the simple will not stray from it when he says wicked fools will not go about on it. That's according to the NIV footnotes. So this way is not only a highway, but it's a highway of the King of Kings. It is a way which has been trodden by all the saints before us. It is the good old way. It has the footprints of the flock of God on it. This is a safe, pleasant, comfortable way. There is not only life at the end, but life in the way. It has true satisfaction and comfort. This way has the favor of God, which is better than any life that is known on earth. This way has the Spirit, who is life. There is not only life in this way, but this also means that there is no true death in this way. None of the sorrow of the world which works true death. There is no end of life that is in the way of righteousness. Here in this way of righteousness, there is life, and the only death is only a temporary death of the body, which ends at the great day of the resurrection. The Spirit never dies in the way of righteousness. So in the way of righteousness, there's life and no spiritual death, life and immortality. How wonderful to be allowed to walk in the way of life. But we cannot say the same for the way of the unrighteous. There is death while in the way of the unrighteousness. The Spirit is dead because it is separated from God, and at the end of the way of unrighteousness, there is another death, which will be a permanent separation from God and His blessings. What a dread to look forward to this continual state of unhappiness and misery, which is found in the way of unrighteousness. Yet, we have a choice. We can choose the way of unrighteousness, where there is death and no spiritual life, or we can choose the way of righteousness, where there is life now and eternal life in the world to come. We all know what the proper choice should be. Why not make it now and live? The way of righteousness is simply to follow the will of God, which He has made for us to walk in while in this life. He created us. He created rules for us to follow. We follow them. We please God. We please our Creator. And at the end of this life, then, we're going to have blessings to look forward to. So let's read Proverbs 12:28 again. "In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death." That brings the 12th chapter of Proverbs to an end, except we still haven't covered the 25th verse yet. In our next lesson, we plan to take the 25th verse of Proverbs. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying goodbye, friends.